Mabad, inshallah, tonight we're going to talk about, or the subject of the talk, inshallah, from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a leader sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're not going to go just to start narrating the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, according to the chronological manners, like from day to day, year to year, from a time to time, but inshallah we're going to talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a leader. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, Allah azza wa jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala, they look at him differently when they study his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they study that what he used to do and how he used to handle things sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They categorize him as the first one, not in his time, or not in the when the 5,000 years left, or in the 5,000 years coming, but no, they categorize him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as number one in the history. No one before him, no one after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be equal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the scholar said, وَالْحَقُّ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءِ, the truth, what the enemies are going to say, because your enemy will never, ever praise you for something that you don't have. Your enemy always say, or say the bad stuff about you. When the enemies of Islam say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a leader that the history will never born one like him, so this is the truth. And in addition to what they believe, we told them that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also is a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for us to be saved, in order for us to, we need to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحَبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Tell them Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, if you love Allah, follow me, means Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn will love you. Allah indeed will love you. So let's tonight talk about the criteria of being a leadership, and from the sunnah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll pick up stories that, you know, support what we're going to say, inshallah. There was some people said, in order for you to be a leader, the first criteria you should have is istiqama. Istiqama means in the rules you don't lie, you don't promise things that you don't do. But in Islam we say the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to be a leader, you need to fear Allah. You don't lie, because if you lie, nobody will trust you. You shouldn't, you're not worthy of that leadership. Al-istiqama. And the best example of istiqama and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created humans, he looked at all human beings, and we know that the sight of the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the humans is the heart, not the physical shape. It doesn't look at you what you look like from outside, but the sight of the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the heart. So he looks at the heart of human beings from Adam, peace be upon him, till the end of the time, and he never found the most fearful heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the most knowledgeable of Allah, more than any of you. He's telling the Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, or as a result of that, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. When a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him about a subject, he said, if you will, if Allah's will and you will, he said, انظر ماذا تقول. Look what you're talking about. You put me equalized with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he refuses and get angry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, there's huge way between a servant, a slave of Allah, and between the creator. So if you know who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will fear him the most, as much as you know him. But if you don't know who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how knowledgeable Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're gonna just be said, oh, I'm doing a little sin, it's saghira. But don't look at the saghira, look at who you're disobeying. Don't look at a small sin now, just who you're disobeying. So the first one is istiqama, or fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that enough to make you a leadership? No. And the examples from the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu arda. Abu Dharr was one of the most sahaba that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could categorize him after the 10 rewarded of heaven. The 10 sahaba that Rasulullah promised him heaven. This is underneath those radiallahu anhu arda. Rasulullah said in Abu Dharr, في أبا ذر قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أطلت الغبراء ولا أظلت السماء أصدق من ذي لهجة من أبا ذر. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith that the earth never carried or the sky never shaded a man that's truthful as أبا ذر رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. And this man came to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, يا رسول الله, make me a governor. وَلِّنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That makes me, you know, just governor. Because most of the Sahaba, after the expansion of Islam in the Arab islands, they start governing places. You know, places like Yemen, places like, you know, Bahrain, and all of these areas around in the Arab. Before they expand to the Persian or the Roman Empire. Then he said, وَلِّنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You, Rasulullah, make me one of the governors of these areas. Look, this man is one of the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, إِنَّكَ مُرِئٌ ضَعِيفٌ لَا تُوَلَّيَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ وَلَا تُحَكَّمَنَّ فِي مَالِ يَتِيمٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him and he said, you are a weak man. You're not good for that. You're good here. You're the most truthful. You're the most truthful of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But no, you're a weak man. You are a weak man. لا تولين على اثنين. You cannot be governing two people. If there's two people, you're not the governor. You're not the one that's going to be governing. No, if there's two people, not a nation or a thousand people, no, that means you're not eligible. You don't have the criteria to do that. وَلَا تَحَكَّمَنَّ فِي مَالِ يَتِيمٍ. And they don't make you judge the money of an orphan. Because Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu arda, you know, by his law, he's going to get that money of the orphans and give it to the poor. Because he's zahid. He doesn't want to get nothing in this dunya. And he thinks that he's doing good. So that's why he's not good for that area. Is he brave? Yes. He's very brave, رضي الله عنه وارضاه. When he became a Muslim, Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr used to be from, his tribe was specialized in, what they call it, American terms, the people that cut roads and, you know, rape you and stuff like that, take your money. Road cutters? Highway robbery, okay. Highway robbery. That's the speciality, Aramiya, the speciality of his people, his tribe. And he used to worship, you know, a stone. His God is with him all the time. He steals people when he cut roads and takes the money and go and pray for the Lord. One time he forgot his Lord down there and a fox came. The fox wants to urinate, lift his leg up and give the God in his mouth the stuff. Very strange thing to God that he worships. And he said a beauty about that. That, you know, a God that's humiliated by fox and cannot protect himself is not worthy to be worshipped. And he said, I disbelieve in all of the idols and all of the... And he threw his God away. And he heard about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to Mecca. And he was waiting. That time, the da'wah was not. He was one of the first ones that get into Islam, radiallahu anhu Allah. The da'wah was not clear, you know. You cannot even open your mouth. And the kuffar were watching Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. Because Ali... Somebody needs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Ali is the way. Ali told him, alright, you just follow me and I'm going to point my finger or point my leg or something, you know, just give you an idea, this is Rasulullah. We don't talk to him. You need to go back, because da'wah was in the secret stage, you know. Zain radiallahu anhu, Allah went in Mecca, I have no money, I have nothing, you know, just drink from Zamzam. You drink from Zamzam for about 15 to 30 days, the scholar said. Subhanallah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Zamzam bu'mu ta'im wa shifa'u saqim. That means it's like a food for a person. If you keep drinking it, it gives you like nutrition. And وَشِفَاءُ سَقِيمُ, that means cure of a disease. If you go to Mecca and drink the water of Zamzam with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure you from a disease or cure you from something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply to your intention. Then he went and stayed all that time. Nobody could open his mouth and talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, until one day he knew Ali radiallahu anhu, and he pointed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the Quran one time in front of him, and this man, he's not from Mecca, and you know, back then was no government, was no nothing. Your tribe is the protector of you. If your tribe is not there, that means anybody could do anything to you. And he went to the people of Mecca screaming, Ya Ahla Mecca, Ya Ahla Mecca, you the people of Mecca, come on, everybody get out, something happened. Then they said, I declare, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I declare there is no God worthy of worship but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu. This man, you know, nobody from the people of Mecca even able to do that. And he's from the first day come. Then everybody came in his face and his back, and they blotted him down. Blood coming from everywhere, until the Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not Muslim that time, and he came and he said, you people of Mecca, you don't know who's that? This is from Ghafar, the tribe of Ghafar. All of your commerce going to, you know, it's going to Bilad Sham, means Palestine and Syria, is passing on them. Those people will cut your and he protected and Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu wa from them. So this man is not a coward man. He got two big criteria: the istiqama, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taub by the witness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, he's also a brave man. You know, leadership needs bravery, as we're going to enumerate until right now. So that means that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not enough to make you a leadership. You need to have another criteria. Also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another occasion. This is the occasion with Abu Dharr. And Abu Dharr, most fearful of Allah. And when brothers, we talk about Sahaba radiallahu anhum jami'an, you know, those people, as we said before, Imam Ahmad, a man asked him about, what is the, how you compare Muawiyah radiallahu anhu arda ibn Abi Sufyan and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is not a companion. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is one of the most, you know, wonderful good Khalifa that came to Islam. In his time, people got rich, they don't know what to do with the money. You know? And they were comparing Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, which is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and brother-in-law to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Imam Ahmad say, انظر ماذا تقول أتساوي بين رجل نظرت عيناه إلى Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وبين أحد التابعين. You equalize between a man that his eyes saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a man never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by his hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by his talk, you know, لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيبه. If you donate in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what's equal to the mountain of Uhud, mountain gold, you'll never be able to equalize what they donate between in their hand fist or one hand even. This is how the Sahaba of Rasulullah SAW, when we talk, there is limits, brother. Those Sahaba, if they did not do the job, Islam will be the same way like Christianity. Some people said Muhammad SAW went up when he's coming back. Some people said Muhammad is God, Muhammad is the God in the form. No. But they
cut that off and transmit the message to us clear. Clear aqeedah, clear sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They carry it. If they're not there, who's going to carry that? We will be in the darkness of shirk. So this is the sahaba. Then the second sahabi, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he was one of the ones that get or become Muslim way late. And 4 months after he became a Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him as a leader of a battle. And who's in that battle underneath him? Abu Bakr Umar. Abu Bakr, the first man in Islam. And Umar radiallahu anhu is the second man in Islam. And their niece, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. And Amr ibn al-As went in the battle of that Salatil. And he's done a lot of things that aggravate the Sahaba. But look at the response and that the trust for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man gets criteria, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized that. Recognize that he's great in battleship leader. To be a leader in the battle, feels this is the best. Better than Umar and Abu Bakr. He went. And while he's going over there, he went, wake up in the morning, and he's hulum, he's junub. Junub, he needs to wash. And you know, in the middle of the desert, was no heaters and nothing. You know, he looked at it, if he was, he said, no, I'm not going to wash. And he just do tayammum. Sahaba said, you know, there's water here, how come you do tayammum? He said, I'm your leader, and I'm going to pray with you this way. And he prayed while he stood up after he done the tayammum, in the presence of water. And then, it's very cold in the desert. They ask him, oh, we want to start a fire. He said, no, everybody turn the fire off, everybody. It's cold, everybody's shivering. But if Rasulullah put him as a leader, everybody said, سَمِحْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We heard and we obeyed you. They obey. Same thing, when they start the battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a great victory. Quick, great victory. No loss in Islamic army. Quick, and once they attack those people, they run away every direction. Then Amr ibn al-As, they want to follow them and cut their heads. And they said, no, stop, everybody come back. They came back. Everybody was very upset. Umar radiallahu anhu arda, talking to Abu Bakr. You see, Umar, he prayed with us while he's junub. He didn't let us, you know, put the fire in. And he said, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda told him that. Told him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that he's in that subject. He's better than you and me. That's why he made him a leader. You see, also the people that you deal with, they look at what is the opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, they came back with victory and came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People talked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what happened. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought Amr. Look at the leader. Look at the wisdom of the leader. When somebody tell you a story, oh, you get upset, and maybe if there's a leader nowadays, they told him, he sent somebody and he bothered us, and cut his head off, shoot him before he comes here. Hey, he doesn't listen to the other side. No. This is the lead. And this is Rasulullah, ikhwan. You know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked, Amr, you Amr done such and such and such. Why? Then Amr radiallahu anhu said, you Rasulullah, It was very cold in the desert. If I wash, I'm going to die. There's no way. The cold water. And you wash in the open fields, then you die. He says, all right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not throw yourself in the destruction or into destruction. This is the Quran. He said, all right. This is right. This is great. He said, why did you let them have the fire at night? He said, you Rasulullah, we're few people. We're not too many people. This is tribes, big, huge tribes. 50,000, 100,000 fighters. If they, we turn the light off at night, fires, they will watch us. They will attack us at night, kill all of us. He said, great, wisdom. You know, leadership. He knows how to lead. And then said, why did you let them, you know, follow? He said, you Rasulullah, we're not a big army. If we spread apart from each other, we'll become very weak. They get back and they kill all of us. Because your group, 200 or 300, when you spread, one goes this way, one goes this way, everyone is going to be by himself. 7 or 10 attack him and kill everyone by one. من سبحان الله. This is the wisdom. This is the Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنه وارضاه. He's not the best of the Sahaba. There's way, a lot of them, way before Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنه وارضاه. You see, I take the example also from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this subject. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the burial of Mu'ta, Rasulullah in the burial of Mu'ta, he sent the army, the leadership to Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu arda. He said if Zayd died, the leadership will be moved to the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the leadership, he died, then the leadership will move to one of the Ansar. Alright, all of them died. There was an army, 4,000 Muslims, 200,000, you know, Romans. 4,000 fighting 200,000. After 7 days, of, and the Muslims get a lot of them dead, and they cannot get the Muslims. Army, 4,000, and on the other side, 200,000 fighters. And then the Muslims got beaten up so bad, you know, 200,000 after the 7 days. They stayed 7 days without getting, you know, they didn't get no victory against the Muslims. Then they spread apart. Then one of the people of Badr, he came and he bring the flag in the battlefield back there. If the flag fell down, everybody spread away, because that means, that's it, the victory of the other side is there. If the flag is up, everybody looks towards the flag. If the flag is up, that means fight to the death. But if the flag fell down, that means that's it. When the flag fell down, one of the Ahl Badr grabbed the flag and went to Khalid. Who's Khalid? Khalid ibn Walid, 4 months Muslim. New, brand new Muslim. Late in Islam, you know, way, way back. After, you know, just before Mecca. Before the year 8 of the Hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 4 months, and this, the Sahabi companion, this is the name of Bibul of Badr. You know, Bibul of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may look at them and see, do whatever, I forgive your future sins. Do whatever in this dunya. The Bibul of Badr. The best in Islam, the Bibul of Badr. The best, the top of the top. Then he just carried the flag and gave it to Khalid. He said, no, you're a sin. You're older than me. And you're before me in Islam. He said, Wallahi ya Khalid, ma akhastuha illa lak. You Khalid, I never pick it up but for you. And Khalid is 4 months. But they knew, and this man is to start from the start with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the people of Badr. He's promised heaven while he's alive. He has promised forgiveness from Allah, but he knows that Khalid is bitter in that subject. Radiallahu anhu arda. Fighting, battlefield, the top of the top. Radiallahu anhu arda. Khalid ibn 99 battles, never lost one. Never lost one battle. Radiallahu anhu arda. And this battle of Mu'tah, he looked. And he started doing, put all of his experience, move the right to the left and the back to the front and the middle to the extremities. People, the Roman people in the morning, they fight in the morning and night they stop. You know, they look in the morning, different faces, new faces. Oh. And you just make a lot of group of people to, and horses to make a lot of, you know, smoke in the ground, and I mean a lot of dust to come out. So, madad, that means there is a lot of help coming, continuously help coming. And he asks them, the Muslims, to fight to the top. Alhamdulillah, they fight to the top and they start acting like a hurricane in them, clattering humans in front of them. Until Khalid radiallahu anhu arda promised, swear that he destroyed 9 swords in that field, in that day. 9 swords in a human head. 9 swords, bro. This is not swords like nowadays. This is a big sword. You can't carry it with one hand over the heads in that battle. And this minute, he said, withdrawal. The disbelievers, something very strange, you know. This guy is, victory is just a few seconds from him, and he asked to withdraw. He said, stop, nobody follows him, just leave them withdraw. They withdraw, and this in the history, the only withdrawal with that loss. In the history. This is Khalid, brothers. And Khalid used to pray, back then the leader of the battle, he's the one that leads prayer. Then he used to pray and he used to read the small ayahs, the small surahs, and he made mistakes. And he said, شَغَلَنَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ. The battlefield, the fire in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it keeps us from memorizing the Quran. This Khalid is first. Look at the Sahabi. He doesn't say, oh, I'm old, I'm from the people of Badr, I'm better, no, I should be the leader. No. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was talking in the mosque, and he said, Yo Rasulullah, when is the time? Matter sa'a? You know, Rasulullah, you know, there should be this guy from, you know, non-civilized tribes away from Mecca. He doesn't know, he shouldn't just wait until a speech stops and somebody asks you. There is a way in Islam. But he just asked. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't answer him once he finished. And who is the one asking about sa'a, about the day, about the end of the time? He said, Ana ya Rasulullah. Qal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibadu li'ati al-amana fantadir al-sa'a. If amana being lost, if amana being destroyed, then this is the wait for the sa'a. It's very short, very soon. Then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Taifa bayahuha ya Rasulullah, how is it going to be lost? You know, he said, Ida wukkila al-amru li-ghayri ahli faqad di'ati al-amana. If you give the matters to those that they have no idea about it, then there's a destruction of amana. How? They said that in Egypt, for example, اعطي العيش خبزينه ولو أكل النص. Give the bread to the people that specialize in it, even if they take half of it, because they're going to get you a good half. You start playing with the bread, you're not going to get nothing. You're going to mess it up and destroy it. So give it to... The same way, you see that the leaders in the Islamic world apply these on them. Apply this to Saddam. You know, when he got into the Gulf, oh, jihad, and where was jihad when you were slaughtering humans? But no, this is where those people, what they know about Quran or about jihad or about nothing? Those people, they got in the leadership. I don't know how, but subhanAllah, they got into the leadership. Every one of them in the Islamic world, every leadership doesn't know anything about Islam. And they make sure that he does not have no relation. This guy in subhanAllah, in India, the rocket scientist, they make him the president of India. You know, but they comment on that. This is a liberal guy, has nothing to do with religion. This secular man. His Islam is like Christianity, is like Judaism, is like everything. Everything is the same for him. He doesn't practice. You know, by means of Islam, he's not by the Rasulullah, if you leave prayers, then you're out of Islam. Those are the leaders we see. So you see how they Rasulullah in his life, how he knows that Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu arda is good in leadership until Umar radiallahu anhu arda. All the ikhwan, after he became a Muslim, every thing that they ask him to do, he never ever failed one job they committed to him until Umar radiallahu anhu arda said about Amr ibn al-As, مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِعَمْرْ أَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا أَمِيرًا. Will never be for Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu to walk on the ground until he is a leader. And that means he's nothing but a leader. He can't be but a leader radiallahu anhu arda. And all of that, Abu Bakr make him leadership, Umar after Rasulullah, because they follow the steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, let's move to another criteria for being the leadership, a leader. The second one we're going to talk about is the right decision. You know how to take the right decision, when to take the right decision. We're going to support that from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the one of the battles, was coming and the companions with him from the Ansar and Muhajireen. Ansar, people of Medina, Muhajireen, is the ones that migrate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a slave or a khadim, or a guy from the Ansar. He went to get some water from the well, and with one, and they fought together. One from Ansar, one from Muhajireen. And after they fought together, the one of the Ansar, he said, Ya al-Ansar, means help and victory for Ansar. Come on, help me. And the one from Muhajirin said, Ya Al Muhajirin, help and victory. And Rasulullah among them. Rasulullah came. The people gathering, this army, his army is dividing into each other. He said, Rasulullah came. يقول وأنا بين ظهرانيكم دعوها فإنها منتنة. You do that and I'm among you. Let it go. Throw it away. What is throw it away? Nationalism, brothers. Islam came to destroy nationalism. You're not. You see, Muslims. You're a Muslim from anywhere. You're the same. You're Muslim from the United States is your brother in India. Your brother is in South Africa, in North Africa. All over the country. This is your brother. Islam came to destroy nationalism. They teach you nationalism, or they teach people nationalism, they're fighting against each other. It starts nationalism to come. Rasulullah says, you do that, and I'm among you. Da'uha. Let it go. Let nationalism go. فَإِنَّهَا مُنْدِنَا. It's very stink. It stinks. This is nationalism. And they spread apart. Look at the right decision. Rasulullah again in the middle. And Rasulullah, when you see him, when they describe him, he's Bassam al Muhayya. That means he's always got a smile in his face. Anytime if you view him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when it comes to these situations, he's sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a man. He's sharp. Because these things, you don't need to be Bassam Muhayya, and the army is going to kill each other. You know? So he stopped that. So Lord, take the right decision at the right time. And look after that. In the army, there is a hypocrite. And there is a leader of the hypocrite. The leader of the hypocrites is Abdullah ibn Ubay. Na'aratullah alayhi. Abdullah ibn Ubay used to be, he's in the way, just a few weeks from being putting the crown in his head and be the king of Medina. And Rasulullah came, no kingdom for him, no nothing. Then he hates Islam and he hates Rasulullah specifically, and he showed he's a Muslim to destroy Islam from inside. A hypocrite, wal'ayyadubillah. Abdullah ibn Ubay, he said with his group. And he said, oh, you're the one, you see, you're the one that gives, open their houses for them, give your money for them, and do this for them, and do that for them. حَيْكَمَا قَالَ الْقَائِلُ سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكَ يَأْكُلُكَ. Look هَذَا اللَّعِينَ عَرَسُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ. This man, he said, as they said, you give them money, you open your houses, he said, as they say, you know, سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكَ, that means make your dog fat, he'll eat you. He's referring to who? Referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Muhajirin, Rasulullah alayhi. Then one of the companions, 15 years old, Zayd ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu, was sitting in that. And he didn't finish at that. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيَخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. He swear by Allah, if we get back to Medina, the honored one we get and kick out the humiliated one. The honored one is referring to himself. Na'matullah alayhi. And the humiliated one is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This companion, he's not a hypocrite. 15 years old boy. Not a boy, actually a man. Because he acts, you're not a man because you're male. You're a man because you get the acts of men. That's why you're a man. You could be an old man, an old guy, but you're not a man. Because you do not bring the acts of men. This is the act of a man. And this guy, he left. And he went directly to Rasulullah. Very upset, very sad, very, you know. And he told Rasulullah about everything, about this, you know, Na'aratullah alayhi, this hypocrite, Abdullah ibn Ubay. Then Abdullah ibn Ubay looked at this man coming out quickly. He knew that he going to Rasulullah, quickly to Rasulullah. Once he finished, he said, no, Umar, Allah, Umar, you know, brothers, Umar. Umar is about maybe 7 feet tall, radiallahu anhu, big, huge man. He said, oh, bring the sword. You, Rasulullah, let me cut his head off. This is a bad to pray. And Rajul Nafaq. Let me cut it off. This is, look at this situation, you know. The army, there's a big conflict. He said, you know, a lot of bad stuff about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's showing his hypocrisy. What would you do in that situation? You tell him, cut his head off? A problem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اسكت يا عمر أتريد أن يتحدث العرب أن محمد يقتل أصحابه? It's a problem if he kills him. You know, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you Umar, if I let you cut his head off, the Arabs will speak and talk that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is killing his friends, his companions. Because the subject is not going to be written as, oh, he's a hypocrite. No, it's going to be transmitted differently. The news doesn't go the right way. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wisdom, look at the right choice. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no killings right now. And this, he's accusing this man, 15-year-old, that he's lying. And Rasulullah and the command, no, this, why he's going to lie? He's from the people of this hypocrite. Why is he going to lie upon him? Then Rasulullah let the subject go, and he immediately ordered the army to move. Look at the right decision, because brothers, there's conflicts, trials, you need to keep people busy. If you let them sit down and relax and start fighting and just say war and this, oh, there's going to be a war with the army. Move right away, everybody. Start moving. Army moving in the desert, not in helicopters, no cars, not 1 foot and 3 on 1 camel, they change and carrying your stuff and you got 2-3 days to eat, walking in the desert for a day and a half without stopping, except for Salah. Only Salah can go. Everybody's so tired. Once the Rasulullah said after a day and a half, relax everybody, sit down, sleep right away. No conflict, no fighting. Rasulullah, this is, look at the decision. The first thing, not to kill this man, because this will be a bad news for the people. The Arabs said, oh, Muhammad's killing his companions, his people, the followers. Oh, nobody will get into Islam at all. The second thing, move the army, keep everybody busy. You know? So they do not fight with each other. Everybody wants to stop, sleep. At the same time, once they're walking, he brought the leaders. You don't bring regular people for subjects like that. Bring the leaders of the Ansar. And he, you know, talk with them. See what your friend said about, did you hear about what he said? He said, what did you say, Ya Rasulullah? He said, such and such and such. He said, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, innaka anta al-ahad wa huwa al-adal. I swear by Allah, you Rasulullah, you're the honored one, and he's the humiliated one. And he, that relaxes you. When somebody, and you see the leaders of, you know, make you feel a little bit, you know, comfort. And then, at the same time, this man, that leader, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu arba, he will handle the subject differently. Because if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed or did something against him, said, oh, he's revenging for himself, you know. Then this is the right, good, wonderful, right choice. And then after that, they move, they start talking to each other. This man has a son, his name the same, Abdullah ibn Ubay, the same name like his father. But he was a true Muslim, a true believer of the Allah Anhu Arda. When he heard that, they got close to Medina, he lifted his sword, stretched it forward, and come to his father and said, you said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's the Azal and Yul A'az, he's the humiliated and you the honor. Rasulullah is the owner and you're the humiliated. If you step one step, I'll cut your head off. So you, and I swear by Allah, I'm not going to let you enter Medina until Rasulullah permits you to go, to get in. SubhanAllah, look at this, the way that things work. You know, if Rasulullah ordered his killing, what's going to happen? If there is a, what kind of, you know, look at the leaders. You can't even open your mouth. You cannot just say one word about them. They cut you for, they kill you for nothing. You know. Look at the difference between leadership, between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this human garbage that they consider themselves leaders. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got into Medina, and look at that. Subhanallah, great victory. His own son, and he said, "No, you're not." He start moving his head. His leg, his son can't, really, I mean, he's going to kill him, there's no way. Then he stays there not entering the Medina until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the permission for him to get in. And this man, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do Jum'ah prayer, he just comes, oh, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us by him. You need to listen to him. You need to follow him. Stand up and make himself the leader. Like he's their leader, then they're going to follow. I'm the leader, then I'm talking to everybody, they're going to follow. Then he stands up to do the same thing. Everybody pull him down. Sit down, you hypocrite. Sit down, subhanakallah. Sit down. Go. Then Rasulullah, he put a smile there and he looked at Umar. And look at the leader. Look, brothers, at the leader. He said, Ya Umar, لو قتلناه يومئذ لأرعدت له ألوف. لو أمرناها اليوم بقتله لقتلته. He told us, look at the wisdom that he's teaching. That's why, brothers, Umar, Abu Bakr, because they got the wisdom from the source, the hikki, practical life, not theoretical stuff. He told them, if we kill him that day, you want to kill him, cut his head off? There's thousands, because he's a leader in his people. You know, thousands will get upset and will fight for him. You know? But right now, those thousands, if we order them to kill him, they'll kill him immediately. Because that is very clear right now. You know, his own son is not letting him enter in, and everybody knew that he's a liar, he's a hypocrite. He said what he was denying. When he came to Rasulullah, he was swearing, no. So look at the leadership, brothers, the right decision. The right decision mainly relies on intellectual activity. You know, you need to be a little bit, you can't be somebody dumb and be a leader. No. And also an important subject that you see in the seerah of Rasulullah, knowledge. You need to be knowledgeable of what you're building your decision upon. Rasulullah in the battle of Badr, he sent an eye, private eye, to see how many of the disbelievers in this one. The eye came and said, you Rasulullah, there are about 100 people. Then, you know, okay, he got this information, this is not confirmed, you know. The man went and Allah makes him, you know, a few in his eyes, and he saw them 100. Then Rasulullah says, I'm asking him, how many they slaughter? How many camels they slaughter a day? He said, between 9 and 10. Then Rasulullah gathered his leaders, and he said, the people between 900 and 1,000. You know, this is because the intelligence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, you know, each camel, 100 people, between 9 and 10 camels, multiplied by 100, this is 900 to 1,000 fighter over there. So when he getting the information, and sometimes in a lot of battles, he goes by himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to gather information. Because in order to build decision, you need to have the right stuff. If you said 100, then he said, the Muslims are 300 something, 313 or something. Okay, 200 go home, and then they find themselves 100 in front of 1,000 or 1,200 people. So to build your decisions. And the third one we need to go with, because the time is running. The third one is bravery. A leader cannot be a leader until he's brave. And you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best example of bravery sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of secret stage of da'wah, he was, you know, doing tawaf around Kaaba. And every time he do tawaf, the big, huge disbelievers of Mecca, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, you know, Utbah, Shaiba, Al-Walid, all of these big guys, big names there, the big disbelievers also. So they just, you know, make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, insult him one every time. It's hard, brothers, if you can, you know, summarize the character of Rasulullah, it's hard to make him angry. The last resort is to get angry. When he gets angry, that means, it's angry. You know, there's something, he cannot expand more than that. And after he finished the 7 rounds around Kaaba, he went to them. A group of people, a lot of people. And said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, shahat al-wujuh, innama jittukum bil-taqwa. Everybody opened his mouth and got sad, and everybody, his face was getting. He told them, you, the people of Quraysh, the face is a curse. I came to you with slurring, with dust. Oh, everybody opened his mouth, everybody. No coward man will face this number of disbelievers. Nobody with them, and he's facing, they're facing the most disbelievers, the richest ones in the earth, not just Mecca, and facing him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with these. All of them, everyone, because they knew Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time he do a supplication, it's the answer immediately. The answer, 100%. So once he said that, everybody opened, and they couldn't say anything to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also on another occasion, there is a man called Utbah. This man, every time he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "You Muhammad, عندي فرس أكله الزرع ونقيع التمر أقتلك عليه إن وجدتك خارج مكة." I have a horse. I'm feeding that horse the corn and the water comes out of the dates. You see, the Arabs back then, you can't feed no horse the corn, but if you know. Just owner the horse, you feed him the corn, and then you feed him also. Naqir al-tamr means you get the dates and put them in water and let them drink. This is what they drink back then, no sugar, no nothing. Then you put just a little bit of dates in water and then become sweet, and then wonderful soul. Then, subhanAllah, this is what, and he used to feed the horse that, and he said, "You Muhammad, I'm going to kill you if I find you outside Mecca on that horse." Then Rasulullah replied to him, "Ana aqtulka alayhi insha'Allah. I will kill you on that horse if Allah permits, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Look, brothers, at the time of the battle of Uhud, when the companions disobeyed the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the victory was against the Muslims, was not with Muslims this time, but to teach not the Sahaba only, to teach us also, if you disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no victory. Those are the companions, that's the people of Badr. Those are the most honored ones after Rasulullah and the messenger and the prophet. And at the same time, if they disobey, to teach them, if you disobey Rasul, there is punishment there. And Rasulullah, you know, he got a lot of hits. One of them in his head makes the metal that covers his head gets inside his brain, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the mirror also got into his face, and Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu wa ta'ala, he swears, and he put his teeth into that mirror, pull it out of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his four front teeth fell down while he's pulling that out. He pulled it out and he pulled his four teeth out. In that situation, bleeding all over sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and battle, losing battle, and you know, the Muslims kill each other. You know, if you study the battle of Uhud, it becomes a conflict. The Muslims kill each other. The Muslims pay the deal for each other because they killed each other. When the conflict happened, you know, and everybody coming different direction, you have this, only the only thing you can see GUI, you don't know who's that, you know. SubhanAllah. And then this man came that Rasulullah promised to kill him. And he promised to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came. And Rasulullah in that stage, you know, he cannot even climb the rock to get into the mountain. And one of the Sahaba went down and said, "You Rasulullah, put your legs on my back and I'll hold you up." Nine of people, everybody spread apart. Nine people around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. He insisted Amur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put his feet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the back of this companion to climb. And while he's doing that, this Utbah came. Oh, Rasulullah saw him and he asked him to give him the harba. See that three-pointed jump. And he gave it to him. And Rasulullah said, in that stage, he's weak, you know, you're losing a lot of blood, you got injured so bad, you're in the battlefield, you know, fighting and defending, and there's a lot of holes that they do it for Rasulullah, and he fell in one of them. And after all of that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got that rabun or barbarian spear. He just got it and he shake it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he pushed it with one hand, and this took Utbah of his horse back and back and back, and he's crying, "Muhammad killed me, Muhammad killed me." And if you have nothing but your little look, but he died and died. Rasulullah said, the most miserable person is the person who is killed by a prophet or killed a prophet. This is the most punishable on the hereafter. If he is killed by a prophet or a prophet killed him. To do something, Rasulullah, brothers, you're not used to fight in the battlefield. Not like carrying the sword and killing people and stuff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a lot of power. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him is, if you put 30 camels on one side pulling, and Rasulullah is pulling from the other side, he will beat up the 30 camels. This is what Allah used to marry 9 women. And he goes, with them in one night. In one night, one after the other, one after this is how, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. This is how powerful Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. But all of his fight was defending. He doesn't want to kill them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them later. And most of them, very upset in the belly, in the belly of Uhud, killed Khalid, killed Amr ibn al-As. But those become the fighters of Islam. Those who carry the Islam and spread it. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see what they do not see. So the bravery. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best example in that, in the battle of Hunayn, the battle of Hunayn. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khalid ibn al-Walid, and they have an ambush for them. And immediately they start talking Khalid with swords and spurs and this, and everybody look, they don't know where to direction, everybody run away. Except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his uncle Abbas. Never ever run away from a battlefield. Everybody left until one of the female companions told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they left you. You want me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bring the knife and cut them throats and cut their. They're leaving you? Running away? He said, no, just leave them. And he starts, his uncle, radiallahu anhu, the Abbas, starts calling people. 100 people in front of them, 120,000. So this is not Romans, they run away, this is the Arabs too. 120 disbelievers, 120,000 disbelievers, and 100 people. And whoever saw that, he saw them, they look like a tornado, moving, cutting, and destroying. And those 100, they get the victory. On what? By what? If it's not a brave leader, a coward leader, and run away, everybody will run, all of them, because it's very easy to kill you from back. But when you face, it's a different story. Best example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of occasions in the seerah shows you how the bravery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move to the other point, the shura. You take other opinions, you're not a dictator. And the best example of that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His leadership, and this is the Rasul, brothers. This is supported by wahy al-sama. If something wrong that happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Jibreel and told him. But he also take the opinion, because he doesn't want to have, he wants to build leaders behind him. He doesn't want a group of haram following him. He said, they are right. Listen, you destroy their brains. If even your son, he do it the same way from you. Let him do it and practice and experience it himself. He don't let just right, left, and then he doesn't know how to think. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the battle of Uhud, his opinion was to get out, to stay in Medina and fight the battle in Medina. But the companions, they just said, no, ya Rasulullah, we did not attend the battle of Badr. We want to show our strength and our power, and we want to fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, outside. He says, outside. They insisted to fight the battle outside, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his opinion is inside. But okay, the groups, the majority said outside, then outside. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down. This is the shura. This is, my opinion is okay. Then they fought the battle outside, and they lost the battle outside. And when he comes to Allah, he doesn't say, oh, this is the weak leader, this is the fake leader, that he puts the results and the blame in somebody else. said, oh, you see, I told you. I know. I'm the best. No. This is not Rasulullah. This is another criteria of the leader. Is to be responsible for the results, either victory or the other way. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other way happened in the Battle of Uhud, what happened? 3 days, he got that everybody again. They spread apart. They don't know who is killing who. He gathered everybody, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went back in a big battle called Hamra al-Asad to fight Quraysh. This has never happened in the history at all. That somebody, an army being beaten up and then gathered again and attack the victorious army. This is never. Then the people of Quraysh, they said, they told him that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming with his army. You know, the Battle of Uhud, actually, if the companions did not leave their position, they will never ever. The flag of the disbelievers in the Battle of Uhud went down 10 times. 10 times down. You know, the first how to fight about 10 times. And they ran away and fly away. But the companions moved. And Khalid with a group of people, 300, never done nothing. They were isolated. They cannot get, because the Roma, the people, they moved away from them, get out, then the victory is gone. And becomes a beaten up instead of a victory. Then he went back to Allah and said, he stayed 3 days waiting for Quraysh to come and fight him again. And the people of Quraysh, look at the decision. Being, you know, lose one time, if somebody lose one time, just shoot himself and finish it. Lost, that's it. No, but Rasulullah, look at him, the persistence and the patience and the intention, the strong one, that he went and he does not, he's not failure, no failure. He lost one time, this is nothing. Just gather the army again and fight and get back to fight. The Quraysh got scared of him. And they said, no, let's go, we have victory now, keep the victory and get home. And they left home and he stayed 3 days. In Hamra and Asad waiting for them, nobody showed up. So this is the right decision. He changed the good leader, the strong leader, changed the beating up into a victory. The tribes around Medina, they were waiting. They said, oh, Quraysh, people of Quraysh beat up the Muslims. Oh, Muslims got no army, let's attack them. But who is they said, Rasulullah sallam, with another army coming out? Oh, hold on, they have an army. So even political leader strongly sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, if the leaders nowadays even get that course, that the course of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and somebody explained it to them and they move from that, it will never be that way at all. But SubhanAllah, but anyway, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the victory, also the stability of the personality. You know, the victory does not make you get arrogant and going back and forth, or getting beaten up does not make you lose everything and kill yourself. And that was very exemplified in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he captured Mecca, and Mecca, brothers, we're talking right now, Mecca, what is small. But Mecca back then was the capital of the Arab island. This is very important, prestigious. This is the castle of kufr, of disbelief. Everything was, the main part for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Mecca. When he captured Mecca sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never victorious and stretched, no. He went down sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until his beard was touching the neck of the camel. You know, humbling for the victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. You see, the victory is stable, does not make you get crazy and arrogant and I'm the only Allah. And at the same time when the other one happened in the Battle of Uhud, he doesn't fail. He does not give up. No, he gathered the army and went back again. Also the persistence of Rasulullah in his da'wah. You see, 15 years, brothers, you're inviting people. Sometimes you get upset when you invite somebody for a class or for something for a day or half a day, you know. This man, he doesn't look like he likes Islam or that. But look, 15 years. And what is how many people, Muslims? 15 years of da'wah. And this is not me or you or some scholar. No, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want miracles? Show you miracles. You want this? Show you this. You want wahi? Show you wahi. You want him just to look at him himself. You know, the Arabi used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he swear, Wallahi ma hada wajhi kaza. This face will never be a lying person behind him. At all, just looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 15 years and 100 people, 110 people Muslims. So every year about 10, 11. Every month about one, you know, three quarters to one person a month that gets into Islam. But this does make him back up and he said, oh, this looks like it's going to be a long story. And all of us follow, the majority of them was weak people, slaves or, you know, poor people. They just stretch them and kill them and destroy them and take their properties and do that. But the persistence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, this is the persistence. You get something, you get a goal, you fight for it. You don't give up easy. This is the one criteria of a leader, of being a leader. Also, we talked about shura. There's a lot of... we are towards the end, inshallah. Ba'd al-Nazar, the long-term view. You see, Ba'd al-Nazar, we call it in Arabic. Long-term view. We're going to say just very quick, the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. When the companions of Rasulullah refused it completely, Rasulullah went to do Umrah. People first said, no, Muhammad. They died after a lot of arguments. They said, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to write an oath or treaty between us, and this treaty will be you go back home this year and you come for Umrah next year, and you're going to be 10 years of peace between you and Mecca and the disbelievers, and anybody Muslim become a Muslim, you come to you, you need to give it back to us. Anybody comes from you, from your side, become a kafir, disbeliever, or we keep it. Oh, the Sahaba got very upset and very, how come, you know? You know, we're not weak. We could fight them. We could do this and that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his long, that was called long-term view. He's looking at the future. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the messenger of Allah. And I don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me victory. Referring to the companion, this is something that will benefit, and this is a wahi, a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they were very upset, you know, this, how come, you know? But subhanallah, the long term view of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that treaty, a man called Abu Nusayr, he went from become a Muslim, a young strong man, become a Muslim and went to Medina. Then the disbelievers of Mecca said, oh Muhammad, a treaty. He got him back to them. Say, oh, Ya Rasulullah, you need to, they will change me in this. And said, oh, this is a treaty, I cannot, you know. And he left, and they took that man, Muslim man, or strong man. Anyway, they stopped at the middle of the road, and he told them they were dying him. He said, oh, man, you got a wonderful sword. Let me look at that sword. Then he gave him the sword, they cut his gun, kill one of them, and run after the one. Another one running to Medina to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for protection. There you go. He said, give it to me back. He said, no, according to the treaty, I give it back to you. But you lost it. This is not my problem. And when Rasulullah saw him very strong, look at the leadership and how to work politically even with your enemy. And do not break the treaty with them. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مسحر حرب ولا أمنا مسحر حرب لو محقوا رجال ولا أمنا. That means, you know, this guy is a tough one. Musa'ir Harb means he's the initiator of a war. If he got a group of people with him, then the word from the mouth of Rasulullah says, he got the word. And he starts to understand. He went to like a forest area and told the right to the Muslims, young, most strong Muslims, come on. If anyone wants to become Muslim, come on. We're not going to go to Rasulullah, we're going to be in this area, practice our Islam. They practice their Islam and they start attacking the disbelievers' tribes, you know. People of Mecca said, Rasulullah, that's mother. He said, I have nothing to do with them. He said, everybody comes to me, I get him back. You know, we have the teaching. And those they make the people of Mecca have a years like the years of Yusuf alayhi salam. They want to find them, they go and hide. They work like kind of, you know, guerrilla like war. They don't know what to do with them. They went to Rasulullah SAW and bad him, you take them without wanting at all. Just take those people. They see the long term view of Rasulullah. Benefit the Muslims. 10 years of peace, he spreads Islam. And the majority of the people get into Islam in that 10 years of peace with Mecca. The same time, he kept the kuffar in a state of emergency by those people. They don't come to Islam. They're not under the umbrella of Rasulullah. They're hiding there. They attack Quraysh and come back. They don't know how to fight them. He keeps them in an emergency state until they beg Rasulullah to get this back. This is the long-term view of Rasulullah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.